You would take your Bibles and turn to the Gospel of Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. I'm going to look at a passage of Scripture this evening and just share some thoughts from this passage. Mark chapter 10. And we'll begin reading with verse 32. Mark chapter 10 and verse 32. It says, "And they were in the way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them, and they were amazed, and as they followed, they were afraid. And he took again the 12 and began to tell them what things should happen unto him, saying, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles. And they shall mock him, and shall scourge him, and shall spit upon him, and shall kill him, and the third day he shall rise again. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, come unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. And he said unto them, What would ye that I should do for you? They said unto him, Grant unto us that we may sit one on thy right hand and the other on thy left hand in thy glory. But Jesus said unto them, Ye know not what ye ask. Can ye drink of the cup that I drink of, and be baptized with the baptism that I be baptized with? And they said unto him, We can. And Jesus said unto them, Ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized withal, shall ye be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. And Jesus called them to him and saith unto them, Ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." Let's go to the Lord in prayer before the message this evening. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come before you tonight, we thank you again for your blessings and for this time. Thank you for the good singing and the sweet spirit. And Lord, we thank you for these folks and for this time together tonight. And Lord, I pray that you would bless your word to our hearts. And this passage may we be encouraged and strengthened by it. And Lord, give us a teachable spirit, a sensitive heart. May we be drawn closer to you tonight. And Lord, if there's one here tonight that doesn't know you as their Savior, we pray that today would be the day of salvation for them. They would see their need of Christ. And Lord, meet every need and the burdens and cares. And Lord, may we be able to say once again, it's been good to be in the house of the Lord this evening. Thank you for this time. Bless it, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Here we actually have two passages that we are looking at, but they actually go together in a very interesting way. The Lord Jesus and his disciples are going up to Jerusalem. Jerusalem was on a hill, so if you went up to Jerusalem, you're going up the hill to Jerusalem, not necessarily going north like we do when we're coming from the south up to here. They were going up to Jerusalem. It says in verse 32, "And they were in the way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them." You would think that normally he would walk with them, but he was out in front. And he was by himself to a degree, and as far as being alone, what he was going to and where he was headed, no doubt was on his heart and mind. And as they went, it says, and they followed, it says, and Jesus went before them, and they were amazed. And as they followed, they were afraid. But Jesus wasn't afraid. He knew what was going to happen. As Pastor said this morning, can you imagine him knowing, even from birth, what was going to happen from all of eternity, knowing what was going to happen? But as the days passed by and the days passed by and the days passed by, it would not be long from now here in this passage that he would be going to the cross and suffering. And what he suffered on the cross, you know, anybody could die on a cross. But he suffered far more on the cross than you or I or what the others would suffer, because it was a spiritual and an emotional suffering as well. All the sins of the whole world poured out upon him. Fellowship with the Father broken for the first time of all of eternity. And we'll never have to experience that. We'll never know what it was like. We can imagine going through the physical suffering that he describes here in this passage is just beyond more than can be considered. Look at it if you would. They were amazed. He was not afraid. They were afraid. He was not afraid. It says, and he took took again the 12 and began to tell them what things should happen unto him, saying, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death. By the way, the chief priests and the scribes should have been the ones to recognize who he was and to welcome him as the Messiah. But they didn't. For several reasons, because their own pride, their own blindness, their own self-righteousness. Now, some of them, I'm sure, trusted the Lord. Now, we know some of the Pharisees did, Nicodemus being one of them. We don't know how many actually trusted the Lord. But we find that he shares with them that this is going to happen. And we know that he did it at least three times, maybe more, that he shared with them that he was going to die and be buried, and on the third day rise again. And as you read the account of the resurrection and their not being aware or understanding what was going on, it's amazing, isn't it? That he had told them what was going to happen, but they did not remember, or maybe they just weren't listening. Have you ever talked to someone before and you just knew they weren't listening? And it was just going in one ear and out the other. I think it was like this in this account because we have some evidence of it. Let's read on. Look at what the Lord Jesus, going into detail actually, sharing with them what was going to happen to him. It says in verse 33, it says, they shall be delivered unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death and shall deliver him to the Gentiles. And they shall, notice what they are going to do to him. They're going to mock him. They shall mock him. They shall scourge him and shall spit upon him and shall kill him. And the third day he shall rise again. By the way, in one respect they killed him, but in another respect they didn't. In their mind they killed him. But as far as he was concerned, he laid down his life. He dismissed his spirit. He willed himself dead. Gospel of John says he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. You and I can't do that, but the Son of Man could. He had to become obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And so he tells them what's going to happen. And look at that. Look at it. It says, and the third day he shall rise again. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, come unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. Doesn't sound like they were listening to what he just said. He went into detail about the suffering that he was going to endure, and they're thinking about where they're going to be, where their position is going to be in the kingdom of God, in heaven. It's very interesting, isn't it? James and John, why, you would think they would be more spiritual than that. But they weren't. They were thinking about their position. Now, a couple of things we're going to make mention here about our position in heaven. And it'll be given and described somewhat here in this passage. But the fact that access to the kingdom or access to heaven, it's not by works of righteousness which we do. It's not by our faithfulness that we gain access to heaven. It's by grace through faith. It's by the finished work of Christ. It's not what we have done, but what he has done. Now, that being true, our position in heaven will be based upon our faithfulness in this life. Our faithfulness to serve the Lord. And a lot could be said about that. We're not going to go into an in-depth Bible study about that. We're just sharing the fact that there's going to be different positions in heaven to be fulfilled. As the pastor said, we're not just going to float around on a cloud strumming a harp for all of eternity. That does not sound exciting to me. It's better than hell. But heaven's going to be far more than we can comprehend. We're not going to be disappointed when we see and when we experience it. But it's going to be challenging. It's going to be exciting. How challenging and what responsibilities and to the extent, I don't know. Again, I know I will not be disappointed. But the same God that made this world as interesting and as beautiful, as challenging and as exciting as He has, is preparing a place for us. And I just kind of think that it's going to be better there than it is here. I just think that. Now, in their minds, they're thinking, wow, I want to be near the Lord. Or is that what they were thinking? Were they thinking they want to be near the Lord, or did they want a position of prominence? We don't really know. From the reaction of the other disciples here later on, they're thinking that they want a position of prominence. They're not looking at it like they just want to be near the Lord during that time. Let's read on. It says in verse 35, "And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. And he said unto them, What would ye that I should do for you? They said unto him, Grant unto us that we may sit one on thy right hand and the other on thy left hand in thy glory. It sounds like a good place to be. But Jesus said unto them, Ye know not what ye ask. Can ye drink of the cup that I drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? The cup he's talking about here, we believe, is the cup of suffering that he would endure. The baptism that he's speaking of is this baptism to death, of death, that he's speaking of here. Now, as physically speaking, what Christ went through physically, they would die, at least James would. John did not die a martyr's death, as far as we know. I understand that they tried to boil him in oil, the Apostle John, later in his life, but God miraculously delivered him from that because he wasn't finished with him yet. But James died a martyr's death. All the rest of the apostles did. And they were willing to die for the Lord. Even Thomas was willing to die for the Lord. You remember that? Well, let's go that we may die with him. Doubting Thomas, he was expressing doubt that he we're going to die. But at least he was willing to die. We criticize, it's like Peter walking on the water and then beginning to look around and starting to sink. At least he got out of the boat. I don't know that I would have got out of the boat, not in that storm. But at first he had his eyes on the Lord, but as soon as he took his eyes off the Lord, he began to sink. And then cried out for the Lord to save him. And the Lord did. And so here in this passage we see that they were willing, and Jesus realized that and knew that. And it says, they said unto him, We can. And Jesus said unto them, Ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized withal, shall ye be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. Now, as far as what we're going to enjoy in the splendor of heaven and the blessings of heaven, and how some will enjoy more blessing according to our faithfulness, according to the faithfulness that we have to the Lord, and having a servant's heart and serving, as we see here in this passage, along talking about the fact of being a servant. I believe that's the key of having a servant's heart, serving faithfully to the Lord. There's not a greater compliment can be paid to a Christian than for someone to say about them that they have a servant's heart. That's the greatest compliment. Even the Lord Jesus had a servant's heart. And so, but what we'll experience in heaven and our capacity to enjoy heaven, I believe, is going to be different for different folks according to their faithfulness and the servant's heart that they serve with here. And I kind of look at it like this. The word cups mentioned here in these verses. If the Lord gives us let's try to picture. You heard the song, "Fill My Cup, Lord, Fill It Up." And I think a cup overflowing, you can only put so much in a cup, right? Well, if we can just visualize it like this, say when we get to heaven, the Lord's passing out cups for us to have our blessings put in. And He gives all of us a cup. But some cups are bigger than other cups. You see? And the bigger cup you got, the more can go in it. Right? It's like these coffee mugs that you see some folks have. You know, I've only had 3 cups today, but yeah, but you had a mug like this. You had 3 of those cups, not a 6 or 8 ounce cup. You remember the cups of the old days, you know, the cups with the saucer and all that? Those are like 4 to 6 ounces. You know, you go to the restaurant and they fill them up, you know, keep filling it up, and you drink 4 of them and you still haven't got what's in one of these big mugs that folks drink coffee out of nowadays. I have some myself, but I try to be careful. Oh, drinking coffee. I love coffee. I don't think I've had too much today, but some days I do. I'll tell you some stories about that sometime. Anyway, the cup of blessing. I want my capacity to enjoy the splendors of heaven to be great. And the capacity that I'm going to have, I believe I'm going to have to enjoy the splendors of heaven, is going to be based upon my faithful servant's heart here in this life. Now, it's like humility. Can you make yourself humble? Well, you know, it's hard to be humble when you're as great as I am, right? It is. It's like the preacher said, humility is like about the time you think you is, you ain't. Pride and humility are completely opposite. So how do we humble ourselves, or how do we have a servant's heart? Simply by studying the life of the Lord Jesus Christ and say, "Lord, help me to be more like You. Lord, help me to be more like You. Give me a servant's heart. Help me to treat others the way You would treat them if You were here. Help me to have a servant's heart. Help me to see the lost as You see them. Help us come to see God's people as You see them." Notice He says here in verse 41, it says, "And when the 10 heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John." You know, I think they were thinking the same thing. Just like when Peter said, "Lord, I'll not deny you. Even though I'll go to death for You," it says, and so said the rest of the disciples. Peter wasn't the only one. Now, but the Lord said to him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny Me thrice." But all of them would deny Him. So said all of them, "We would die for You." We sometimes, again, criticize Peter, but all the disciples pretty much were thinking and doing the same thing. In verse 42, "But Jesus called them to Him, and not just James and John, but all of them, and saith unto them, Ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them." That's the way it's done. The Roman Empire especially ruled by force. It was not folks wanted to serve the Roman Empire. They had to serve the Roman Empire. It was done by force. He said, it's not going to be that way. We serve the Lord from our heart with desire. We desire to please the Lord because of what He's done for us. We love Him because He first loved us. It sounds simple, and it is simple, if we look at it from His perspective. You see, we live in light of eternity. We're not going to live forever in this world, in this life. And so, shouldn't we become and start living as citizens of heaven? In verse 42, he says, or 43, "But so shall it not be among you. Whosoever shall be greatest among you shall be your minister," the one that's going to minister or serve you or help and bless. "And whosoever of you will be the chiefest, shall be servant of all. Now, Lord Jesus Christ, of course, there in the upper room when He washed the disciples' feet, gave an example of humility and having a servant's heart. You say, why did He wash their feet? Because they were dirty. Right? Yes, there's a spiritual lesson of humility there, but it actually accomplished something. It cleaned their dirty feet. And so, sometimes we try to spiritualize everything and forget the practical lesson of being a blessing to somebody. In Bible days, that's what you did. You took care of your guests. And He, instead of having one of them do it, or the servant there of the house, He did it Himself and showed that He was not too good to do that. Was there anyone greater than Him? Never. No. No one greater than the Lord, but He washed His disciples' feet. That's not an ordinance of the church, but it is an example of humility. There are other things that can be done. Looking at for opportunities to be a blessing and to be a help. Some folks, I think, do a better job of it than others, don't you? I've known folks that had such a servant's heart. I pray that the Lord would help me to be more like them. I want to be like the Lord, but I know folks that I know, if I could just be like them, I'd be better than I am. Looking at the needs of others and thinking about what others may need. Thinking ahead. Needs of the pastor, needs of other church members, needs that may not even be here yet, but may be here next week or the week after that. How can we help? How can we be a blessing? How can we serve? Look at verse 43. But so shall it not be among you, but whosoever shall be great among you shall be minister, be your minister. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be the servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. The giving of His life was the greatest thing that He gave because of what it accomplished. What did it accomplish? Our salvation. He tasted death for every man. He gave Himself a ransom for many. This ransom for many, you say, well, does that mean, is that limited atonement? No. You see, He died for all, but not all will be saved. It's available to all, but it's only effectual to those who will receive it. To as many as received Him, to them He gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Wouldn't it be wonderful? It would be wonderful that everybody trusted the Lord, but everybody don't want to trust the Lord. And He's not going to force Himself upon them. If folks cannot be won by His love and by what He did on the cross, they'll not be won. It's not by their works of how much it can be done and accomplished to please God. He's not pleased by our works as such. He's pleased by our faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And then as we have faith, what does faith result in? Works. You see? And so they work together. But true works that honors the Lord have to be based upon our faith or within our faith. Faith comes first, then our works. We're saved unto good works. But Christ set the example, didn't He? Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Now, you may not have the opportunity to lay down your life for someone in this life. We may not have the opportunity to. But what if we did? Would we? Would we lay down our life for a fellow Christian, for a brother or sister in Christ? Would we give ourselves for them? Oh, I'd die for my family. We have those priorities right, don't we? But would we die for someone else? I'm thankful for our country. We live in a country that our military, those who serve faithfully in our military, are willing to not only die for the freedom of us, but for the freedom of others. Many of whom don't even appreciate it. And that's a sad thing, isn't it? But the love that Christ showed and the love that He displayed is to be followed, be emulated, and to be practiced. We love Him because He first loved us. We know we pass from death into life because we love the brethren. By this shall all men know that ye are My disciples if you have love one for another. And it is expressed by having a servant's heart. If someone says about you someday, you have a servant's heart, or that person you have, that person there has a servant's heart, that's the greatest compliment. What do we want to hear from the Lord? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Let's bow our heads for prayer.